The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you're about to listen to my radio show called Therapy in a Nutshell. I am a marriage family therapist here in Redding, California, and been in my private practice for over 30 years. Before that, I worked for Children's Protective Services doing sexual abuse investigation. So I've got varied experience doing a lot of things over that 30 years, and I wrote a book called Therapy in a Nutshell. And that's to help share with people the basic lessons that I teach in therapy all the time, because not everybody can afford therapy, not everybody's willing to go, and not everybody can drag the person in that needs to be in my office. So therapy in a nutshell is to help you get some skills to face life's challenges that we all have. Nobody's perfect, everybody's learning, and we're all trying to do the best we can in this world. So today we are going to be talking about trust. Trust is a huge issue that I see with people that come into my office. People have trust that's been violated either by trauma or in difficult relationships. Some people's trust has been violated by abuse. Think sexual abuse, physical abuse, think domestic violence. Some people are victims of crime, and their basic innocence in the world of feeling like they're safe just walking down the street has been violated. All of these things can create trust issues. So let's go to something not quite as severe as those type of things. Let's say that you have a failed relationship that you tried and tried and tried, and it still didn't work, and the person left you, and you feel violated by that, and you feel betrayed. And it makes you say things like, I don't know if I'll ever trust anyone again. I don't know if I can be in a relationship again. So even if you're not making some personal rules like that, like all men are bad or all women are horrible, you still may have some trust issues where you're trying hard not to let people in because it's scary. So in my office, when we talk about trust, one of the things I like to do is help people figure out what has formed their personal rules about trust. What makes them trust men or women, or trust relationships, or trust daddies, or trust girlfriends? You know, what makes you form your rules that say who you are and how you should trust? So we take a good look at that, and a lot of people can put their fingers right on it. They'll say, well, I was pretty trusting until this relationship happened, and it was very violating and very destructive, and I learned to doubt myself. Or they can say, you know, I've never trusted anybody. I had a very difficult family of origin with a lot of abuse, and nobody trusted anybody. And even when you did put your trust in someone, they violated it, and you got abused. So trust is huge. There are some very basic things to learning how to trust, and today I'm going to teach you those things. But the first part of what I really want you to do is recognize that developing a healthy relationship is one of life's greatest challenges. And the quality of those relationships, whether they are you and your parents, or you and your significant other, or your siblings, or your friends, the healthy relationship and the good communication and the trust is what makes you feel fulfilled and happy. As Homo sapiens, as human beings, we are pack animals. We are not normally just loners. Now, I do see people sometimes in my practice that I would say they're much more loners than others. They need lots of alone time. They're not really social very often. But as a whole, most of us need to feel connected somewhere and to feel safe and loved and protected somewhere in our life. And that takes trust. We have to be able to open our heart, let people in, and share part of ourselves with them. And when we do that, we feel connected and safe, and we feel more fulfilled. So when you've been burned, when you don't trust, and you pull away from people, you have to really stop and say, when did this happen? How long have I been doing that? Has it been all my life, or has it only been since this thing happened, and really do some self-soul searching on that. So when did it start for you? When did you start to feel like trusting was something you couldn't do? As a portion of trust, let's look at the idea of jealousy. There are two things. There's something to really understand about jealousy. There's jealousy and there's envy. They're two different things. Jealousy is when we feel badly and threatened and we don't want that person to have what we have. Envy is when you love what somebody has and you wish you had it too. You don't necessarily want to deny them that wonderful thing that they have, but you kind of wish you had it too. That's envy. And envy can be very healthy. I mean, when we see somebody that has a beautiful new car and we're like, whoa, I wish I could have a new car. That's so cool. And how great that you could get that. And you work hard and you deserve it. That's awesome. I'm happy for you. I wish I had it too. That's envy. Jealousy would be, oh, I can't believe that person, my friend got a new car. She gets everything she wants. She just has a silver spoon in her mouth and and you're really putting her down and you feel really angry and you say, why can't I ever have anything like that? What's wrong with me? Why don't I get things like that, like a new car? That's jealousy. Jealousy is that little green monster on your shoulder. And jealousy, people will say, I feel jealous a lot and I don't trust. And so they combine whether they trust somebody or not with whether they're jealous of that person or not. And in the relationship, they'll say, I don't trust that, say you're a female and you're saying your male partner, you don't trust that he's going to be faithful, that he's going to cheat on you. And you say, everyone I've ever been with has cheated on me, or my last relationship, he cheated on me, or my ex-husband cheated on me. And so you start to color everybody with that same crayon. And then you use that mistrust as a justification for being jealous of that person's behavior. Now, this is an interesting thing, because when I hear jealousy in my office, I am looking for, have there been betrayals? Are there reasons that this person feels justifiable in their jealousy and their mistrust? But it isn't always the same thing. Sometimes we determine that someone isn't worth trusting by old traumas that happened to us but have nothing to do with that person. I can't tell you how many times when I do couples therapy I've heard, look, her ex-husband cheated on her. I have never cheated on anyone. I've never cheated on her. I would never cheat on her. Yet she is constantly accusing me of it, constantly thinking I'm doing that because it's happened to her before. And it's really unfair. And even the person might sit there and say to me, yeah, I get it that it's unfair. I shouldn't do that, but I can't help it. So we have to recognize how powerful that fear of abandonment, that fear of rejection is to fuel our mistrust, which fuels jealousy, which really harms relationships, especially when the jealousy is not deserved. So if that's happening in your relationship, know that there's help for it. And this show is going to be working on that. So don't, you have to listen all the way to the end, because I'm going to give you some really good skills to start to learn how to heal your trusting impairments. I also am going to give you some really good skills for how to date. If you're new out into the world and it's a scary place to think of dating, it's scary to think of getting hurt again, it's scary to put your heart out there and realize that you could get hurt. We're going to talk about that and how can you go about dating or finding a new relationship in a healthy manner and not be so scared and to do it in a way that you form a healthy relationship that feels good and that you can assess the relationship all along the way. So whether you're reforming your current relationship in a healthier manner or you're trying to find new friendships or new romantic relationships, I want to give you some really good skills for that. So we're talking about trusting. We're going to take a break in just a few seconds here. But when we come back, we're going to talk more about exactly what is trust. I'm going to give you a really cool coping skill for it. So be sure and turn back in. But before we take a break, I want to do a shout-out to OsteoStrong, who's sponsoring my show, and I'm so grateful for that. Ken and Linda Burbank have OsteoStrong on Athens Avenue, and it is a wonderful way to combat osteoporosis, osteopenia. It's a great way to build your bone density. In a year and a half I've been going to OsteoStrong, my bone density has increased 5.5%, and I'm really happy about that. So give Linda and Ken Burbank a call at OsteoStrong at 530-215-3115. Okay, join us after the break, and I'm going to give you a cool coping skill for learning how to trust.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Improve your health with OsteoStrong. Not a drug, not a gym, just 10 minutes a week. One thing we all have in common, a skeletal system. By implementing the OsteoStrong strategy, you may experience the following results. Less joint and back pain, improved bone density, improved posture, improved balance, and improved athletic performance. To learn more about OsteoStrong, visit Linda and Ken in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, 243 Athens Avenue, or give them a call at 215-3115.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and today we are talking about trust. Right now you're listening to the beautiful music of Randy McGinnis and me, Patricia Bay. That was me playing the deep bass flute that I just love. It's my favorite flute. It's made by Pat Heron, an incredible flute maker, and I'm playing with Randy McGinnis, which is just a really cool thing to do, to play with the Native American Flutist of the Year for 2017. That's from his CD, The Journey, and it's track number 9, Nigohila, which in Cherokee means always. So today, we are talking about trust. And in the beginning, I talked about how a lot of people lose trust in relationships by being traumatized, by being harmed, by bad things that have happened in their childhood, or things that have happened in relationships that make them doubt themselves and doubt others being safe and protective. So I want to teach you a coping skill right now. You can also find this in my book called Therapy in a Nutshell. It's in Chapter 2, and it's the chapter about intimacy and learning to trust. But let me give you a visual. Anybody that's been in therapy with me knows that I'm very visual. I like you to be able to draw or write down what I'm telling you, because if you can, you have a clear understanding. So people often go home from therapy sessions with their yellow piece of paper, which is me drawing out what I'm teaching them. So I think that's kind of fun. Anyway, let's look at the idea of a visual. I call this trusting levels. And this has worked really well, and I've taught this to people, and it gives them a very clear understanding of where they're going and what they're doing. So in trusting levels, let's say the levels are divided into 5 sections. The first section that I call level 1 are acquaintances. Acquaintances are people that you know, but you don't know much about them. They might be the grocery store clerk or the mail carrier. They might be your next-door neighbor, and you know their first name. You don't know much about them. But acquaintances are people that you would say, yeah, that's my friend Joe. I've known Joe. He's been delivering my mail for years. So acquaintances are good to have in our life because they make us feel a little more full. But you don't know much about them, and they don't know much about you. The next level, level two, I call friends. These are people that you know more about. They know a little bit more about you. You probably know their last name. You know if they're married. You know if they have kids. You might know their kids' names, but they might also be the person you're going, ah, he's got three kids. I'm trying to remember their names. These are people that you would call a friend. You maybe work in the same area or in the same company, or you went to school together. But you don't know a whole lot about them, and they don't know a whole lot about you. The interesting thing about level one and level two people, the acquaintances and the friends in your life, is when they say, how are you doing? You almost always say, fine, fine, how are you? You could have a raging headache and they could say, how are you doing? And you'd say, fine, because you just don't really want to share personal information that much with a level one or level two. Then when we move to level three, those are your good friends. These are people that know more about you. You know more about them. You probably work in the same environment or go to church with them or you're in school with them. There's somebody that you cross paths with on a more regular basis. Back when we all used to have Christmas lists and send out cards, these would be the people you'd send a Christmas card to. We don't do that much anymore, do we? But these are the people that you might invite to a barbecue or to a party. And you also might be more honest. If somebody said, hey, how you doing? You say, oh, I got a terrible headache, but I'm doing okay. These are your good friends. You don't also tell them a whole lot of details when something's going on in your life. If a good friend moves away or doesn't work in the company anymore, whatever, you most likely will lose contact with them. Now, with social media these days, we stay in touch with more acquaintances, friends, and good friends than we ever have. But we still don't necessarily tell them much. So when we move to level four, these are the people I call best friends. These people know most things about you. You know a lot of things about them. You would think of reaching out to a best friend in good times and bad. You wouldn't think of having a barbecue or a party without inviting them because you care about these people. You might even say you love these people. And these are the people that you're more honest with, that more disclosing. I don't mean necessarily more honest or less honest, but you are more disclosing of your feelings and your fears and any traumas that you've been through. Most of your best friends would know if you had a horrible childhood or you were abused, or they might know that your a divorce that you had was particularly bad and for what reasons, because you confide in your best friend more. Underneath best friend, there's a wall. And the wall's a good thing. Some people have no wall, and everybody they know gets all the way through their trusting levels and all the way down to that deep inner level five, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But not having a wall is a problem. Some people have a misplaced wall. They don't let anybody through past level one or two. They keep everybody out. And they've got a big, huge, thick wall, and they don't have anybody very intimately in their lives. So if you are a healthy person, and if you're doing your trusting levels in a productive manner and in a healthy way, after level four, you've got a wall. And you're very discerning about who gets to the other side of that wall. Because on the other side is what I call your level fives. This is your intimacy. This is where there's 100% unconditional love. There's truth about who you are. Your level five are fives. If you're lucky, you have more than one. Your level fives know the skeletons in your closet and love you anyway. They will tell you the truth. They're good people in your life, and they have characteristics that make you trust them. And that's if you're doing your level fives well. The intimacy in level five does not necessarily mean a sexual relationship. This could be your best friend that has nothing to do with being in a relationship. And the other thing is that the best sexual relationships are in level fives because there's a lot of love and trust and connection and intimacy. Level five is also where the best marriages are, because when you are married to your very best, most intimate friend, you have a depth in your relationship that makes your heart sing. One of the things I see in my office a lot when couples come in is one will say, I want to be closer. I want to be more intimate. He or she, my partner, keeps me out, and I don't like that. I want to feel connected and close. I want that intimacy. Sometimes couples will say, yeah, we'd like to have that, but we don't. And they'll have all kinds of reasons why they don't. And those are some of the things you have to work out in therapy, some of the trust violations, some of the inability to communicate, some of the harsh and negative things that people say or do in relationships that make people pull away from them. So if you're a really healthy person, you have some acquaintances, you have some friends, you've got some good friends, you have a few best friends that you're really connected to and you share with, and if you're a very fortunate person, you have a level five or two or three or some level fives in your life. Now, can your level five be your relationship with your own children? Of course it can. I have two daughters and I'm extremely close to them. I would say that they are my level fives. And the difference might be that with your own children, you might not discuss your sex life or discuss things that are inappropriate to discuss between parent and child. But you still have that kind of honesty and that connection and that ability to work through any problems. Are level five relationships perfect? Absolutely not. They can make mistakes. They can hurt feelings. But the difference with a true level five is they're willing to really work out what's wrong. They're willing to sit down and duke it out, you know, fight it out in terms of, I'm talking verbally, not physically, but they're willing to go the extra mile to heal a problem that's in the relationship. They're willing to own it when they make a mistake, and they're willing to come forth and say, you and I, our relationship is worth saving. Let's work on it. So that's what happens with really good level fives. So let's talk about people that don't have the boundaries of these sections in their trusting levels. There are people that tell everyone absolutely everything. They're the ones who will stand there and tell the grocery store clerk about their sex life or something physically about their health that's been kind of gross, and they're sharing, oversharing, and the people in line are going, okay, ew, we didn't need to hear that. And I actually hear that in my office too. I have couples I've seen and that say, I can't tell her anything because she tells everybody what I say. Or she says, you know, he just runs on at his mouth and I hear him at a party telling the people over there about our sex life. It just makes me really mad. They have no boundaries of who they can tell things to and who they can't tell things to. So those people, we need to install boundaries to make a healthier relationship. They need to understand that there are appropriate things to tell different levels of different friendships and certain things that are not appropriate to tell that level. Now, we're not talking about lying. Like, I consider myself a really straight-up person. I really try hard not to tell lies, and I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm sure I've said something, but I try really hard to be really honest. The difference for me is how much I will share. Like, I'd be very honest to a grocery store clerk, or I'd be very honest to a good friend, or I'd be honest to a best friend. But the amount of information and the level of information, the degree of detail that I will tell is different whether I'm talking to an acquaintance or talking to a best friend or an intimate level five friend. A level five friend, I would have no holds barred, and I would just really share. So we got another minute left in this section, and I want to explain to you that when we come back, we're going to take these trusting levels, and we're going to talk about a couple of things. What do you do when somebody violates your level? You thought you had a level five, and they turn out not to care about you unconditionally or not to love you, or they violate you in a way that makes you really reevaluate that friendship. We're also going to talk about how to utilize these trusting levels when you date to do that in a healthy manner. So we're talking about trusting levels. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you're listening to Therapy in a Nutshell. And we're going to take a break for a minute. And another quick shout out to OsteoStrong, my sponsor for this show. I'm so grateful for their support and love working out at OsteoStrong. It's quick, it's easy, it's cost effective, and it has increased my bone density, and I am grateful for that. So we're talking about trusting levels. We're going to take a bit of a break, and when we come back, I'm going to teach you how to use them well.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Another wild family event is coming to the Cascade Theater March 13th on the trail of big cats. Follow photographer Steve Winter around the world as he searches for rare and dangerous tigers, leopards, and other giant cats. He'll share his images on the big screen along with terrifying and lighthearted stories of his adventures. Plus, Turtle Bay will be on hand with some wild surprises of their own. March 13th at the Cascade. Tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and today we are talking about trust. You're listening to the beautiful music of Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist. So today we're talking about trusting, and we, in the last section, I went through the trusting levels, level one being acquaintance, level two, friends, level three, good friends. Level four, your best friends. And then if you're healthy, you've got a wall there. You don't let absolutely everybody into that level five. They've got to earn it to get there. So then level five is intimacy. Your intimate, heartfelt connections. This is hopefully where your marriages are. This is where your dearest, closest people in your life are to you. And you feel safe and protected in that arena. Let's look at some of the characteristics of a level five. And then we're going to go into how do you use the trusting levels to either fix a relationship that isn't as intimate as you would like or to establish new relationships. But some of the characteristics of a healthy level five relationship, these are the things that make us really trust somebody. There's honesty and reliability. They say what they mean and they mean what they say and they show up. There's an ability to keep confidences. An ability to listen. When you start talking about something that's bothering you, your level five doesn't take over the conversation and make it all about them. They are able to listen and support, even just to hear you is good. There's a lot of non-judgmental, accepting, open-mindedness that happens in your level fives. There's an ability to share feelings back and forth, not just a one-way level five. There's a commitment to the relationship and a willingness to work through problems. And you have some likes and dislikes in common. There's some mutual ground that you share. There's mutual caring, there's sensitivity, and there's personal responsibility. Those are the things we all would like to have in our closest, dearest, most intimate relationships. So you're listening to that right now, and hopefully you're thinking, oh, that's so-and-so in my life, or that's my wife, or that's my husband. That's very cool. But when that isn't happening in your relationship, and you really, truly want it to be, I know that some of the things I'm talking about might make some of you really sad, because you've wanted that, or you've always wanted that, or you used to have it, and that person has passed away, or something is missing in your heart, and you have wanted that deep, heartfelt connection. So if you are sad, know that you need to just hold that and really feel it, because that's going to be inspiring for you to work on that sadness and begin to fill your life with someone who can be that deep level five for you. And it may not be another relationship. It might be a dear friend. It might be somebody you have fun with. But don't be afraid. Forming level fives is possible, and I'm going to teach you how right now. So you just learned the trusting levels. One of the secrets to forming a new relationship, whether it's a friendship or you're dating or you meet somebody in class or at church and you say, wow, I'd really like to get to know that person, is to take that person through the trusting levels. So let's say you meet somebody in your college class, or you're in high school and you meet somebody, or you're an eighth grader and you're saying, whoa, that girl's cute, or that guy, I like that guy, he's really nice, he's funny, I really want to get to know him. Whoever you want to get to know, whether it's a friend or someone you're romantically interested in, the first thing you want to do is make acquaintances. You might say to them, hey, I'd really like to get to know you better. Do you want to go to coffee? Or if you're a college student, you might say, I'd love to get to know you better. I liked what you had to say in class. Do you want to study together for the test? Offer up something that is a daytime activity that is time limited, meaning you're going to get together and study and you're going to go to the library, or you're going to meet for coffee and you meet at 11 and you have to be somewhere at 1, so you're not rushing it, but you're having that time limited sort of thing. Daytime. Notice there's no dinner and alcohol, and there's no going to their apartment when you don't know who they are very well. There's no sitting around watching a video drinking and you hardly know who they are. Those are recipes for disaster, and those are activities that you need to know who you're with. So as you're getting to know the person, you're making an acquaintance. You're going to do daytime activities, time limited, and you're going to set it up with an air of getting to know the person. You're not promising getting into a relationship. You're not talking about sexual attraction. You're only saying things like, I'd love to get to know you better. So when you meet the person for coffee, and let's say you get to know them better and you think, oh, boy, we're so different, or they're married. I'm not going to be romantically involved, but I'm making a friend. Okay, so you're getting to know the person better and you're finding out things about them and you're deciding if you want to be more of a friend, to go to a friend sort of level, not just acquaintance. So you might say, I loved getting to know you. Can we meet for coffee again and keep getting to know each other? Or would you like to walk the river trail? Or how about meeting for lunch next week? You're offering up another daytime, time-limited activity. You're making no promises of relationship. If the friendship doesn't continue to move forward, nobody has promised anything. So you do that, and then you, as that's going well, you move them up to a good friend level. You might go to a movie. You're still not going to their house and watching a video in the dark and drinking. You are getting to know them. If they try to push it too fast and say, hey, can I take you to dinner Friday night? We can go blah, 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 whatever. You might do that, but you would meet them there with your car. You wouldn't make it involve a lot of alcohol. You would be able to drive. So you are setting the boundaries and the limits of getting to know this person. Now, let's look at the idea that you go out to a bar and you're drinking and you get picked up on by somebody and you go home and you sleep with them, have sex with them, and you're rushing that relationship into a false level five. You're in this intimate relationship and you wake up the next morning thinking, oh, what did I do? I don't like who this person is, or I don't want to get to know this person more. Now, because you've made a false level five relationship, you have to break up. Now you are the mean person who pretended you were interested just to get into bed with somebody. And now you have tainted that relationship you might not even trust them in a relationship because they jumped into bed with you and you're thinking, how would I be with them in a relationship? They might do that again. But the false, moving somebody too fast and too far up the trusting levels without vetting them, without getting to know them and deciding if you want them more in your life, creates a false sense of intimacy that then makes you have to leave if it's not good. If you're taking the person through the trusting levels and you've made a personal rule, I'm dating, I'm not going to be sexual with anybody until I'm in a level 5 relationship, I'm going to take my time, I'm going to get to know that person, and I'm going to feel that chemistry building and that intimacy building where I'm really liking who they are and just really enjoying their company, then when I finally step into a full-on relationship with them, I have chosen it, and they have chosen me. It isn't a one-way level 5 where you're interested and they're not. If they don't get interested and they don't meet you as in deep as you are, then something's wrong, and you need to listen to that. You need to slow down, either give them more time or recognize that you might not be the right person for them. But because you haven't stepped into a falsely intimate relationship, nobody has to break up. You can just kind of back off and not connect as much, not do things as much together. Or you can also be really honest and stand in your truth. You can go back and listen to the podcast called Stand in Your Truth, where it'll teach you how to do this. But you might say to that person, look, we've been getting to know each other, and I'm really figuring out that this isn't quite what I want in a relationship. I'd love to have you as a friend, but it's not quite right for a relationship. I can see that we're too different, or the chemistry's not there, or you just tell whatever your truth is. You can do that, or you can decide they're a good friend but not relationship material. That's okay too, but you're honest, and you're honest with yourself. So you've taken it slow. What is slow? It depends. There is no fast and set rule. Could you maybe sit up all night talking and getting to know each other and go for a walk in the river trail the next day and really hit it off and feel like you have a lot in common and you're just really feeling good about it and there's good chemistry between you. And then you go to lunch the next day or you're getting to know them fairly quickly because you're putting a lot of time and energy into it. Can you move into a level 5 faster than if you go to lunch once a week? Sure. But there is no hard and fast rule. The idea is you're really taking your time to get to know this person and to vet them, to see if they're who you think they are. Some of the best relationships are people that have been long-term friends, good friends for a long time, and then something happens to move you into each other's space or the same job, or all of a sudden you have a class together, and you start to get to know the person more. But you already had a decent friendship from just being good friends over the years, and now you're starting to get closer, and there's some interest that's evolving. That's a really cool way to start a relationship. But look at how this fits with dating. Look how this fits with making a new friend, whether it's somebody you met in class or at church or in your job and you want to get to know them better. Ask them to do a safe daytime, time-limited activity, lunch, coffee, walk the river trail, meet at the library to study, the type of things that let you get to know the person better. So this is how you form a friendship. This is how you date. And for those of you who want this in your relationship, this is how you build trust in your relationship. You kind of go back to square one and you start talking about who are you and what do you believe in and what are your hopes and dreams and what are your fears. And you talk to the person about how important it is that they keep your confidences. You stand in your truth with your loved one, with your partner. Many people I see in therapy don't stand in their truth with their partner. They expect them either to read their mind or they have pulled away so far that they don't say how they really feel or what they need or the things that have made them sad or upset. Those are the things that make you not current in your relationship. When you are not current, you're holding on to resentments and grudges. You're muddy and you can't really see with clarity the other person. You can't see with clarity yourself and your own feelings. You have to be able to stand in your truth to begin to form the intimacy and create that level 5 that you've always wanted, that your heart longs for. So we're going to take a break in a minute. And when we come back, We're going to just finish up some things about what are trusting levels and how can you have some really cool level fives in your life. I also want to talk to you about what do you do when you thought someone was a level five, someone you deeply trusted with your heart and soul, and they betray you, and you need to figure out what to do and how to either repair it or let it go. Sometimes that's the hardest thing, is letting it go. So I am Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and we are talking about trust. Therapy in a Nutshell. We'll be back in a minute.
February 22, 1982, Joe Martino opened Orchard Nutrition Center with a simple philosophy: to be able to have the choices available for a completely healthy lifestyle. And to this day, Joe and the entire Orchard Nutrition Center family have kept that promise for 37 years. Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Winter is coming. At least that's what the calendar says, and the nights are getting cooler. So you don't want to put off having your Monitor or Toyotomi heater and water heater serviced, and SST Oil are the people to call today at 241-1167. Stay warm and cozy when the temperature drops by having that system checked and fresh fuel delivered. SST Oil, delivering to our firefighters, and they'll bring that same dedication to your home. SST Oil, Windham Lane in Reading, 241-1167.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering X-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. You're listening to the beautiful music of Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist. And I'm going to share something really cool with you about Randy's CD, The Journey. I'm on that CD. I play didgeridoo, and I play deep bass flute, and I play a mean rain stick on song number one. But what's really cool is the percussion on that CD is by my husband that died. Rich was a drummer. He was an attorney that represented kids, but he was also a drummer. And so we had lots of recordings of him drumming some drum tracks, because when he did the drum track for my daughter's song, We Can't Do This Forever, the song that opens up this show, by Tara Bay Bedford, Rich laid down a whole lot of drum tracks because we knew he was terminally ill. And so when Randy did his CD, The Journey, we all gave Randy permission to put Rich on the CD as percussion. So when you listen to song number 9 called Nigohila, always, that's me playing deep bass flute, Randy's playing flute, and the drummer in the background is Rich. And I just think that is the coolest thing. It's very cool. He lives on through his music, and it makes my heart sing. So we're talking about trust. It's a hard subject to talk about because there's a lot of pain involved with trust that you want to feel and you don't have, or trust that you have risked feeling. You've let somebody into that deep level five and they hurt you, and it just breaks your heart. And I will share with you that that has happened to me in my life a bunch of times. I don't think we can go through life and risk loving, risk our hearts, without getting hurt sometimes. And what we are risking when we take the risk to love and let somebody in is we risk getting hurt, but we also risk great joy and connection. You know, when I look back at being married to Rich for 35 years, being in that relationship with him 39 years, It wasn't perfect. There was an incident that happened between us that was extremely painful and broke my trust. And we had to work really hard to fix that. And if Rich were alive today, he would sit here and tell you all about it because he owns that thing that happened. And it was an extremely difficult time to rebuild that trust. But I am living testimony that you can be horrendously betrayed by somebody you deeply love, and you can learn how to trust again, and you can repair the broken relationship, and you can make it stronger and better. And some of the things that I write about in my book, Therapy in a Nutshell, sprang from that very difficult time that was in my life. And I really had to learn the hard way. How do you learn to trust again? And how do you repair that? And how do you heal a broken heart? So in my book, Therapy in a Nutshell, I do talk a lot about that. And it comes from some very difficult experiences. You know, and then, so you've been betrayed, you've been hurt, you don't know if you'll ever trust again. And that's where therapy really can come in. You can talk about your broken heart, and you can't make somebody want to heal a relationship with you. But if they do step into it and they want to heal, there are some ways to heal the broken trust. And I love helping people learn how to do that. And my book, Therapy in a Nutshell, will help you do that. But what we're talking about is how do you heal a broken heart? How do you learn to trust again? And some of it has to do with learning to trust yourself. It doesn't matter always what the rest of the world is going to do or not do to you. Are you willing to take the risk for great joy, knowing that you might get hurt and you might get a broken heart? But the trust in yourself that you are strong enough, you are resilient enough to withstand pain, heartache, lets you know that you can move forward and take the risk of trusting again, especially when you know how to do it in a healthy way. In the last section of the show, I talked about not only the levels of trusting, but how do you take somebody slowly through those and learn who they are and whether they're worth being one of your level fives. Okay, so now let's say that you kind of vetted somebody and you brought them into your life, they're a friend or they're a relationship, and you have decided that you really trust them, you love them deeply. They are in an intimate relationship with you. You share your heart and soul with them. You risk telling them the skeletons in your closet, and you have done fairly well. I mean, they've been pretty non-judgmental, and they've been accepting, and they've really listened to you and shared back and forth, and they have shared their heart and soul with you, too. It's not a one-way level five. The only thing that's the appropriate one-way level five is therapy. That's where you tell your therapist everything, and your therapist does appropriate disclosures, but doesn't tell you everything. Sometimes that's the first level five relationship people have, and that's okay. If you have a good therapist, they will help you learn how to expand that kind of deep relationship into an appropriate back and forth level five relationship. Good therapy does that. Good therapy teaches you how to stand on your own feet, not how to be dependent. Okay, so you're in a level five relationship. You've opened your heart and soul. You've trusted, and you get hurt. You find out that that level five is not the person you thought he or she was. It's painful. It breaks your heart. You will cry. You will grieve. And what I tell people when they're struggling, when they're grieving, I tell them to breathe and cry. I don't say shove it away, buck up, be strong. Feel the pain, because you allowed your heart to open up and allowed your heart to connect. And when you lose that person, whether it's because they die or because they betrayed you and left or because they just gently stopped loving you and moved on, those things are so painful and they break your heart. So breathe and cry. Acknowledge that you put your heart out there and you feel like it's been broken. Sometimes you feel like it's been stomped on. And that's, you know, it's true. It's hard to be heartbroken. It's a very, very painful feeling. But it doesn't mean it has to go on forever. So let's say somebody broke your heart and they come to you and say, I really screwed up. I hurt you. I behaved in a way that was abominable. It was horrible. I hurt you. I hurt my family. They own their abhorrent behavior. They say that they want to make amends. They say that they want to earn your trust back again. And then they actually try to show up. Try to earn your trust back. Talk to you. Allow you to talk about your hurt and your pain. And they listen and they own it from what they did. And they maybe even share the deep reasons for what they did and why they did. And you, too, offer up listening and understand what motivated them to do whatever horrible thing is that they did. But there's some sharing back and forth, and there's some grace of listening and working through. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden you go, okay, fine, I forgive you. Forgiveness isn't about being stupid. Forgiveness isn't about letting everybody back in, whether they deserve to be back in or not. Forgiveness is about recognizing the lessons that happen. And broken hearts are full of lessons. And I know I'm probably really ticking some of you off there, but they are. Broken hearts make us take a good, hard look at ourselves. They make us take a good, hard look at the relationship and whether we want to save it or not, whether the person has those characteristics that make us want to hang on to the relationship. You're not hanging on just because you're desperate and you think no one else will want you, and this is the best you're going to do, and you're going to settle, so you might as well let this person back in. That is only a formula for you to be resentful and angry and jealous and not repair the trust, because you don't have the foundation for the relationship that makes you want to keep it. The idea is, if the person comes back and says, I really harmed you, I really hurt you, please let me build this relationship back up again. Let me make amends. Let me reform our relationship. If that person is worth keeping in your life, then you can talk about rebuilding the relationship. If reality is that person is not someone you would choose again, you have to find the strength and the wherewithal to let go. Don't be desperate. Don't hold on to them just because you think you can't do any better or someone else won't want you and this is better than having no one. Because it's better to be in your own relationship with yourself and happy and peaceful and go out in the world and find some healthy level fives than to hang on to something that is dysfunctional and is not working toward rebuilding a healthy, trusting relationship. So if you want to know more about this subject, you can get my book, Therapy in a Nutshell, and I'm truly not trying just to sell copies of a book. I wrote the book because there are lessons in here that help you cope with these challenges. And not everybody can afford therapy or get into a therapist. So read the chapter 2 on trusting levels. Put it through your own filters of what you've done. Chapter 1 about love and fear also talks about how, when we've been deeply hurt, how do we learn how not to be afraid? And one of the things we do is we learn how to trust in a healthy manner. So let's go over the trusting levels briefly one more time. Level 1 is acquaintance. Level 2 is a friend. And these two don't have a lot of intimate information about you. But you're engaging with them. You talk with them. You're getting to know them. Level 3 is a good friend. They know more things about you. You know more things about them. Level 4 is a best friend. You really think of reaching out to this person in good times and bad. This is the person that you go sit and have a glass of wine with or talk and share your heart and get some support. It's kind of nice. Then, if you're a healthy person, then you have a wall. Your wall isn't misplaced back up, and no one gets past level 1 or 2, and you do have a wall. So it isn't like you don't have a wall, and everybody gets down to level 5. That's not healthy either. So after level 4, you've got a wall. You're very discerning about who gets past that wall and into level 5, and that's that place of intimacy. That's where relationships are heartfelt, and where you really love the person and they love you back. So we've been talking about trusting, a very complicated subject, but it's really very simple. You need to learn to trust yourself. You need to learn to do that in a healthy way and learn how to let people in a healthy manner. It's really pretty cool. So you can go to my podcast on anchor.com, or you can go to my website, patriciabay.com, and click on the media section, and then you can click on the podcast if you want to listen to this again or you want to share it with somebody. I would love that, because what I really want to do with this show, Therapy in a Nutshell, is I want to help heal the world 1 hour at a time. This is Dr. Patricia Bay Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional.